Hello, hello. Welcome to our last two pages, our last two lessons. This is about Mary, okay? And I know I'm putting her at the end. She's humble. She would not mind. But Mary is not just sprinkles on top. Mary is totally integrated here. But, you know, I wanted to kind of give her a page all to herself or two. So on this first page, we've got names of Mary. I think this is just fun. I'm pulling the names of Mary from a litany called the Litany of Loretto. If you're not familiar with it, most of it is here on this page, but I did omit some of the names. But it's just a long, beautiful litany. It's a repetitive prayer. You can pray it in a group. You can pray it by yourself. And it's naming Mary. And every single name it gives her, it kind of draws out. It's like many sides of a dice, okay? And it reveals a different part of Mary. Mary is such a mystery to us. We don't see her a ton in scripture, but we know she's there in the background. So all of the ones listed on this page, the names of Mary from the Litany of Loretto, are scriptural. Some names of Mary from the Litany of Loretto are from church tradition. One was just added in 2020 by Pope Francis, okay? Solus of the migrant or something like that. But this, these ones are biblical and I want to show you where they are. Okay, so we're going to move fast. Here we go. Mother of Christ is from the Annunciation, Luke 1, where Angel Gabriel asks her to be the mother of Jesus. And Christ is Messiah, and he tells her that basically her son will fulfill the Davidic covenant prophecy about the Messiah. Mother of the Church, this is from John 19. Mary is Jesus' mother all along, but then on John 19, on the cross, he gives her to John. He gives John to her. In this, he is giving her to all of humanity. She's the mother of the whole church. Mother Undefiled, this is from the, again, the Annunciation, the full of grace moment. We call this doctrine, it's a dogma of the church, Immaculate Conception, which is a name that Mary gave to Saint Bernadette. That's private revelation though. But Angel Gabriel says to her in the Bible, you are full of grace, implying there is no other room for sin. You are totally full up to the top of grace, as well as the Ark of the Covenant, the imagery of that being perfect and commissioned by God, undefiled, worthy of holding the presence of God, Mary, the new Ark of the Covenant, etc. Mirror of Justice. That's a direct line from Wisdom 7:26. Seat of Wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. He's the wisdom of the Father. And he sits on her lap. He is human. He sits on her. Think of her, him as a little toddler, a little baby. She's the seat of wisdom. She's the place where wisdom dwells during her pregnancy. The next three are kind of all together. Spiritual vessel, vessel of honor, singular vessel of devotion. This is really implying, again, the fact that Jesus was within her. When the Holy Spirit overshadows her, she becomes a vessel, okay? She is filled with God. A vessel carries something. She carries God. This is kind of just a different way, three different beautiful ways of saying Ark of the Covenant. But also, I mean, we see in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter exhorting husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way, honoring them as the weaker vessel. Okay, so the idea of calling a human a vessel is not very rare. Paul says that we are like clay vessels and God does his work in us to show God's glory despite us. So she's a vessel. She's human. She's little, but she's full of God. There's a book called Reed of God that talks about how she's like the empty nest or the flute that's hollow in order to be filled with the breath of God or filled with Jesus. It's pretty cool. Anyways, she's a vessel. Tower of David comes from Song of Songs 5, the idea that she is a defense of David, of Jesus. She is his safe place. If you've ever heard, come under the mantle of Mary. It's supposed to be a safe place, okay? Tower of Ivory, Song of Songs 7:4, same type of imagery. A tower, strong, beautiful. House of Gold and Ark of the Covenant, these things mean the same thing. The House of Gold is the Ark of the Covenant, or the temple, the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence dwells, all of these things built with gold. In the Ark of the Covenant, she bears Jesus. We see this very close connection between the visitation account. I know we saw this earlier in the packet, so I won't repeat it. But the story of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and Mary going into Jerusalem as the Ark of the Covenant, okay? We also see the Ark of the Covenant in Revelation 11. I looked up and I saw the Ark of the Covenant and it was a woman. So we see her there. And the Council of Ephesus called Mary the Theotokos, the God-bearer. So that goes with Ark of the Covenant as well. Okay, next one is the gate of heaven. This is from Ezekiel 44, 1 through 3. It says, then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary facing east, but it was closed. The Lord said to me, this gate must remain closed. It must not be opened and no one should come through it. Because the Lord, the God of Israel, came through it. It must remain closed. Only the prince may sit to eat a meal in the presence of the Lord. He must enter through the vestibule of the gate and leave the same way. So she is the gate. She's the gate of heaven. She's the gate where Jesus was able to come into humanity, but nobody else is. This is, again, to her perpetual virginity. Sorry, not again, because this is her perpetual virginity, that she was a virgin before, during, and after Jesus, that he was the only child of hers, that the womb where Jesus was the only he was ever there. Okay, this is also repeated in Isaiah 26:2 and Psalm 24:7. Morning star is another thing from the Song of Songs. Song of Songs 6:10, we see this imagery of her rising, bright as a morning star, okay? Health of the sick. This is a little bit more implied, but it refers to the fact that she accompanied Joseph to a happy death. We know, not from direct scripture, but from filling in the gaps of scripture, that Joseph was deceased by the time Jesus' public ministry began, because he wasn't there. He was absent in all of Jesus' public ministry. When Mary was mentioned, Joseph was not. It would have been inappropriate for Mary to be somewhere without Joseph. Joseph died. Joseph was dead. Joseph died with Mary and Jesus with him. So the health of the sick refers to the fact that she accompanied him to a happy death. Refuge of sinners is from Matthew 2:4. They found the child with Mary, his mother, and falling down, they adored him. This is talking about the sinners, the shepherds, the lowly, and they find Jesus through Mary. Mary is the secure refuge of Jesus, and the refuge that here come the shepherds, and they're able to come in with her. Okay? Again, I'm not making this up. I'm reporting to you things that, the reason the Litany of Loretta was written this way, okay? So if you're like, that's a stretch, take it up with the church. Okay, comfort of the afflicted. We're almost there. Comfort of the afflicted, Hebrews 2:18. Jesus, the great high priest, can comfort us in our sufferings because he knows our sufferings, because he's human. So that idea that Jesus is the great high priest who can sympathize with us was applied to Mary here, that she also great queen mother, but she is human. And she knows our sufferings, and she can comfort us because of her pierced heart, because of her humanity. Okay, that's the names of Mary. I think it's fun, I mean, to have, like, nicknames, if you will, but of course these are longer than nicknames. Okay, let's do the last page here, page 56. This is the events in the life of Mary, okay? Fun stuff here. I know we've covered these already in the packet, but let's just focus on Mary a little bit more. It's like, well, fast forward the movie of the New Testament just to focus on the best parts of Mary. Mary first comes on the scene of our movie at the Annunciation in Luke 1. This is the second appearance of Gabriel in the New Testament. Daniel in Daniel, whatever, 9, prophesies the Messiah is going to come 490 years later. And then he comes to Zechariah 490 years later, and he comes to Mary 490 years later. Here she is, a little girl in the house of Nazareth, and he tells her the Davidic covenant, that she is going to have the Messiah, and he says that she'll be overshadowed, just like the glory cloud overshadows the Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, she's going to be overshadowed, she's going to be the new Ark of the Covenant, and she gives her yes, we call it in Latin, the fiat, and she is open-hearted and totally, like, unlike the bride in the Song of Songs and Song of Songs 5, when the bride's like, I don't know if I'm going to come to you when you open the door, Mary opens the door to Christ and totally gives her life. Next place we see her is the Visitation. Okay, the Visitation is the Ark of the Covenant whole situation from 2 Samuel 7. We've talked about it before. We're not going to get super crazy into it again, but it's very clear that David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, just like Mary is the Ark of the Covenant being brought to Jerusalem, and Luke's embedding the language in order to tip us off here. The whole idea that Elizabeth says to her, blessed are you among women, just like that was said to Jael and to Judith, who both pierced and killed the head of their enemy. Mary is going to be the one who steps on the head of her enemy, which is the prophecy of the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15, that she shall crush his head. And so she's going to be the new Judith, the new Jael, crushing the head of the enemy through her yes to the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant holds three things. Manna, the Ten Commandments, and Aaron's staff. Mary, as the Ark, holds Jesus. Jesus is three things. He is the new manna, bread from heaven, that feeds us. He is the new high priest, represented by the staff of Aaron. And he's the new law, the eternal law and the word of God. The new Ten Commandments, okay? As well as, we know from the Visitation, Revelation 11:12, I saw the Ark, describes a woman. Okay, so here we go. Next thing. We saw her at the Visitation. We saw her at the Annunciation. And the next we see her, of course, is the birth. She travels with Joseph to Bethlehem. She probably knows that prophecy from Micah 5:2 that Bethlehem is going to be the place where the Messiah is born. She's like, makes sense. Here we go. And then after the birth and the shepherds and the kings come, of course, they go and have the presentation at the temple. Presentation at the temple is where Mary is told by Simeon that a sword will pierce her heart. Let me get this great detail of this story. This is where she has to take the purification bath in order to enter the temple again, which is hilarious because she's the most pure person in the entire world besides Jesus. Okay, so we see her at all these beginning of life places. That's really where we see Mary shine. But then it seems like she kind of goes dark and quiet for a little bit. 13 years later, we see her, of course, lose Jesus in the temple and say, "Why did you do this to us?" And then take him back to Nazareth for the hidden years. And then we really only see her a couple other places from the rest of the whole Bible. There's implications of what she's doing, but we don't actually see her written about in scripture. Okay, so one place we see her is the beginning of his public ministry. She acts as the queen mother, bringing the problem to Jesus from his subjects, saying they have no more wine. And he's like, "What is this to me?" But then he works the miracle, so he listens to her. The queen mother is an office, and she established by Solomon. So Bathsheba sits beside Solomon and co-reigns. The queen mother sits beside Jesus and co-reigns. This is why we're comfortable calling her the queen of heaven and earth, because Jesus is the king of heaven and earth. She's the queen mother, the Davidic office. Okay. But here she shows up at the wedding feast of Cana. And then really throughout his ministry, we see her pop in like, "Where your mother is looking for you," type of thing. But, it doesn't say anything about her, which is appropriate for Mary because she's so humble. Even if she was with Jesus the whole time, if she was accompanying him, it doesn't mention her, okay? Until the crucifixion. Here we are at John 19, where she receives the piercing of her heart. She follows Jesus as he's walking the station to the cross, and she is given to John. John is given to her. And this is like a new motherhood, okay? She gets a mothering of all of us now. Now she's the queen of all of us and the mother of all of us at the foot of the cross. Okay, continuing on with where we see Mary in scripture, the last place we see her is the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, she is there at Pentecost with the 12. Now this is her second receiving of the Holy Spirit, okay? The first receiving of the Holy Spirit happened at the Annunciation. The glory cloud overshadowed her. Okay. The Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed her, and Jesus was conceived. This is her second receiving of the Holy Spirit for the new mission. Now she has universal motherhood. Just like the apostles were told to go out and baptize everybody and evangelize and tell everybody about Jesus and make disciples, Mary at the cross was told that she has a new mission. She's a new, the motherhood, universal motherhood, and her new Pentecost, her second overshadowed by the Holy Spirit moment, is to prepare her for the new things she's called to do. Okay? Crazy. That's why we believe she is such an intercessor for us, such a mediatrix. When we're here on earth, we pray to her so much. She appears to us through apparitions all throughout history, all different languages, all different places and times. It makes sense because she is the mother of us all. She's got this new mission now to still bring all souls to Christ. Okay, and then a couple of places that she is in Acts of the Apostles that is implied / in church tradition. One is that she actually appears to James. First apparition after her Assumption into heaven, and she's crowned at the, all of this is implied. It's church tradition, it's doctrine that she was assumed into heaven and crowned queen of heaven and earth. But then she appears to James, an apparition, okay, and she encourages him. Another thing that we attribute to Mary is the stations of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of the Lord. She walked it originally with him, so apparently in the early church, she would spend time in Jerusalem walking and pausing at every place that Jesus paused and reflecting and thinking, and other people started to follow her. And that tradition came from Mary. That's at least implied. So that's something that she was doing in the early days of the church. Another thing is that she was talking to Luke. Luke, the gospel writer, got all of his information from Mary. The infancy accounts he writes, all that stuff. And the legend, of course, is that he sits at the table that Jesus made as a carpenter, and he paints Our Lady of Częstochowa on the table as she's telling him the gospel. And so we have that little hint of where she's been. But mostly we don't really see Mary until we know that she's in heaven. So it's crazy because Mary is so central to the Bible. We need Mary. Mary's yes is how the incarnation even happened. What would have happened if Mary said no? We don't know. But really, when you're looking at this page, all of it can be summed up in one page, her whole life, right? In scripture. It just goes to show that scripture doesn't tell the whole story. Scripture is the inspired word of God. It's awesome. It's needed. But there's more outside of scripture that God reveals to us than we know. Okay, that's Mary. Okay, and that also is the conclusion of your course. So I know that there is deeper to go with everything I've taught you, But I'm hopeful that looking back, flipping through these 56 pages, you can say, I know more about the New Testament, and I know how it connects to the Old Testament. And I see that nothing is like random. Jesus isn't just making things up. He's coming because he has anticipated, people have anticipated his coming. He's been preparing the bride for his coming. All sorts of Old Testament things point forward to Jesus. Jesus refers back to and fulfills all sorts of Old Testament things. And ultimately, the great news, the good news of the gospel is that he came for us and we're in covenant with him. And we have access to him still, which is awesome. It's awesome. So I hope that you go forth and you love Jesus more every day and you love being part of this church that he established for our salvation. Bye-bye.